the hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you. A little loud here. All right, thank you. All right, welcome everybody, and welcome everyone to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hey, this is a Tuesday night, right? This is Tuesday, December, if I can get my thoughts correct, December 29th. This is Tuesday. I'm never on a Tuesday. Never on. But this is what the format is going to be like going into 2016. This is it for 2016, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm changing the format, sort of, but I'm keeping the hours the same. You know, I'm changing the format for 2016. I want to do something different, try something different, move it over a little bit, stop being on weekends and try to work through the weekdays. Okay, and we'll see where we can go from that. All right. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, recorded, reported out live from the city of Chicago. And we have, and it's a lot of mess here, too. So you're listening to my show, George Wilder Jr. Show. There's no guest today for December of 2015. However, January is just loaded with guests. Great guests, wonderful guests, informative guests, guests from every arena that you can think of, and I'm proud of, and I'm proud of that, and I hope that you will be tuning in to listen to those people as they tell you what they do, how they do it, and why you should do it, and why you should be interested. You know, I always try to book guests who will inform you and also inform myself. I mean, we're all here to learn, and I try to pick the best guest with the best interest in mind, okay? And this is a political show, but politics is not always the first topic of this show, of the George Wilder Jr. Show. And 2016 is going to be a hell of a year. 2015, good riddance. What you did in 2015, or what you did not do, or what you failed to do in 2016, in 2015, you can, you know, make a resolution for 2016. Hey, wow, you know, the years are just going on, passing on by. I have a birthday in 2016. I don't want to see it, but it's coming, you know. And happy holidays. I've been celebrating a little bit. So the new format of the show, I've been celebrating a little bit. So, you know, whatever. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, WTTTY. You missed the show, you will miss a hell of a lot. And it's great. It's great to be with you. And I was just so excited and had plenty of enthusiasm for wanting to come on the show today. I mean, because yesterday I was out for 18 days, not 18, but 8 days. And it takes a toll. I mean, I'm so used to being on the air. I'm so used to you guys listening and giving me feedback on the show. And that's great. That's wonderful. That's great. And that's wonderful. I want to say for you guys to look out January 2016, I'm going to be launching some new books, some new material on Amazon.com. You look out for that. It's great. It's wonderful. I'll be talking about that, I think, in tomorrow's show. Because for this week, I'm on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all of, hopefully, all of 2016. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No more weekends I'm going to set aside for writing. It's going to be solely for writing, and during the day, during the day and evening hours, I'm going to be doing the show, the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we're trying to see how, I'm trying to see how that's all going to work out, you know, and I know it will work out. So we're just going to, you know, push ahead. Okay. The weather, they say, is getting bad. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to really be horrible. you know, my son is out there and I didn't want him to be in the weather, but I guess he's safe wherever he is, and that's great. So, but the weather around the country in general is terrible. I mean, some of these tornadoes and twisters that we're getting in winter, we usually get them around springtime, but they're here. And a lot of people are saying, well, hey, George, it's El Nino. You know what? It's something. Something's not right. I mean, you cannot actually tell one season from another anymore. I mean, each other. I mean, it's just not happening. You know, it's not happening. So the weather is pretty bad. They say it's going to snow tomorrow. I'm here in Chicago. When I'm here in Chicago, I'm talking about a lot of things in Chicago. And basically, I'm talking about a lot of things around the world. One of the things I like about internet radio, I mean, you're worldwide with internet radio. You're worldwide. I mean, people are listening to me all over the globe, or should be. Oh, they should be. All right, but you know, it's I'm not the only one with the internet radio show. It's 1,000 other radio hosts out there, and what the hell? I'm competing with them all. Bring it on, right? Okay, all right, okay, all right. I saw a video with Gladys Knight. You know, Gladys Knight and the Pimps and all that kind of thing. She looked great. She looks great. I mean, she, from my understanding, she's 71, 72 years old, and she looks marvelous. She, you know, and she, you know, and she's just great, and she just, she seemed like, when I saw her on the radio show, when I saw the YouTube video of her being on someone else's radio show, she was just a regular person. I mean, she was just like she lived right next door to you or something. She was just your next door neighbor. She was just that down to earth. And I'm hoping I can get her on this show. Now, don't hold me to it now. You know, or someone close like that. She was just so down to earth, and it was just awesome. It was just awesome. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, right here, wherever I am. LinkedIn. I just love LinkedIn. LinkedIn is so, I don't know, it's something about LinkedIn. It just, it seems different from Facebook. They are not similar at all. I mean, you know, especially in the kind of people that that are members to those both of those websites. But that's something I can talk about later. Okay, I'm broadcasting out of Chicago, Illinois, and we still do not have a state budget. I guess you know where I'm going with this. We still do not have a state budget. Rahm Emanuel is canceling his vacation, his holiday vacation, to come back to Chicago and try to do something about the police. If at all, it is funny. Do something about the police who are gunning down African-American men at the rate of just, it's staggering. And we're all saying to ourselves, why is he coming back? What is he going to do? You know, I mean, you know, he's going to do something. If he's going to come back, he better come back with some damn ideas of how to stop this rogue, his rogue-ass police department from gunning down innocent people, or just shooting people in the back, or just shooting innocent people, or killing innocent people. I talked about this yesterday on my show. I spent the entire time talking about it because it's something that's going on in this city, and it has to stop. It has to stop. However, it's also going on in other states within the United States. It has to stop. The crime. And a lot of us are saying, where is Obama in this? I've talked about this on the show yesterday. Where is Obama? Why isn't he saying something? Why isn't he calling some sort of meeting or summit on the crime in Chicago? Remember, this Chicago is supposed to be Rahm Emanuel's hometown. I mean, not Barack Obama's hometown. The reason why he's not saying anything on this epidemic of violence, because him and Rahm Emanuel are buddies. He doesn't want to, you know, say anything bad about his buddy. He's hoping his buddy can deal with it and take care of it. Because I remember the day that Rahm Emanuel won the mayorship in Chicago, his first term, he and Barack Obama were hugging like they had just gotten over on the people. And that's what it feels like now, that he has gotten over on the people. A lot of us dumbass clucks went out there and voted for him. Rahm Emanuel is not a mayor. He's not a politician. He's something else. He's part of the one percenters. You know, he's not a regular person, a regular guy. He's rich, and he's calling himself a Democrat. You know, you got a lot of Democrats out there who aren't Democrats. They're actually Republicans. They're Republicans who run as Democrats because they don't think they can win, you know, entitling themselves Republican. So they run as Democrats because they know that there's more Democrats out there than there are people who vote Republican. So once they get into office, they start, once they voted in, they start calling themselves conservative Democrats. And I never understood that. Conservative Democrats? Are there any progressive conservatives? Are there any liberal Republicans? I haven't heard of any, but I've sure in the hell heard of conservative Democrats. And every time I hear that, I'm saying, wow, that's a Republican disguised as a Democrat. Therefore, the people will not be served. People will not be served, especially the progressive, the grassroots Democrats will not be served by this. And there's so many Republicans who are in office right now, Republicans and Democrats, who are not serving their constituency, who are not serving the voters. And I think they should get their asses out. There should be something in the Constitution for someone who lies their way into office. And being able to stay there, that should be unconstitutional. I mean, if you run for public office saying that you – promising this or promising that, and you get into office and you turn the other cheek, your ass should be thrown out of office. You forfeited your office because you lied. But it's just the reverse. These lying ass Republicans, these lying ass backstabbing ass Democrats stay in office forever. And then they run again and they run again and they run again. They get rich. They become bought off. And the people be damned. You know, so we have to do something. We've got Rahm Emanuel, and we also have Governor Bruce Rauner. He's somewhere out there on vacation. He doesn't want anybody to know where he is. He has 9 homes or something like that. He is a public figure. He is also the governor of Chicago. Chicago is in Illinois. He should have a voice in some of this violence out here. Obama should have a voice in some of this violence that's happening in Chicago. He should open his mouth. Why? Because from my understanding, this is his home. This is where he began his presidential run back in, I believe, 2008. Two leaders are not saying anything about the violence in Chicago. They're not coming up with any ideas, any solutions. They're just standing back. And they are leaders of the world. We voted for these people. Bruce Rauner would not say anything about Chicago's violence or try to come up with some solutions or try to come up with something. He is not a leader. We don't even have a state budget. We're 6 months behind on a state budget. A state budget will not be happening until after New Year's. That's a damn shame. Bruce Rauner is not doing his job. He should be recalled. That means throw his ass out of a job, out of office, because he's not doing his job. He is not a leader. Barack Obama, I got some choice words for him too, because a lot of people are saying he hasn't done a damn thing for black people since he's been in office. And I have to agree with them. Some people are saying that black people are worse off than ever since Obama been president. I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, all you people out there who love Obama, who think Obama cannot do any wrong, who think Obama is better than the Republicans, I may agree with you. But a whole host of black people, African Americans, put his ass where he is today. And all he can do is want accept refugees from every country there is, you know, instead of doing something about the people who are already here, African Americans, doing something about poverty. Like I've said so many times before, Obama just talks about it. Obama might say something about this or that, but that's all it is. Just like on gun control, for instance, Obama said many times he's going to use his executive authority to get things done on gun control. We're still waiting, Mr. Obama. It was just talk. I knew when I heard this and read this, I said, well, I'm going to wait and see what's done, because I know Obama has said this before in the past, and he still has not used his executive powers to get things done in Congress or in the White House that's going to benefit the people who put his ass in office. So we're still waiting for that. I see this stuff all the time. Obama's going to use executive authority on gun control. Obama's going to use executive authority on poverty. Nothing whatsoever. And like I've said before in 1,000 shows, he doesn't always have to have Republican input on anything. He has executive power. He could make laws on his own by just signing them into law. He doesn't need Congress. And the next president of the United States, if they want to get rid of that law, they just erase his signature and that law is kaput. But still in all, something should be said about the crime, the shooting, the police department. I mean, this police department in Chicago is under investigation, a federal investigation. And then we had these two cops last Saturday, shoot two innocent people. I'm going to say two innocent people. A woman and a 19-year-old. They say the 19-year-old was wielding a bat. The thing here is that the father called the police to subdue his son. The father did not call the police to come out to his home to shoot and kill his son. Betty Jones was a neighbor downstairs, 55 years old. From my understanding, a bullet came through the door and hit her. And some people say she opened the door and she was shot. The thing here is, in both cases, both of these people, they did not have guns. They were not shooting at the police officers. They were not threatening the police. Just recklessly fired his damn gun into this woman's apartment and shot her, struck her. And you, all kind of lawsuits. I mean, you got all kind of lawsuits that are going to come out of this. Everybody's got a lawyer. Everybody who's involved in this situation, the relatives, just about everybody got a lawyer. And I have to be, and I have to think, Rahm Emanuel is really feeling bad about this, because he's trying to balance the city's budget and trying to tighten up the budget. However, his cops keep going out in the street shooting people, and every time he shoots someone, there's a lawsuit filed, there's a civil suit filed. They have to pay millions and millions and millions of dollars out. The city has to pay millions and millions of dollars out. And how can the hell you balance a budget like that when you constantly have to pay money out more than you're taking in? So Rahm Emanuel is coming back to Chicago, cutting his trip short. You think Bruce Rauner going to cut his trip short for this? Hell no. Bruce Rauner, let the niggas kill each other. Let the cops shoot. You know? But Bruce Rauner have to understand one thing. He's the governor of the entire state. That also means that he's the governor of Chicago. Maybe he's forgotten that. We don't know. And he also has to remember that he's a public figure. Where he goes, it's news. What he does, it's news. If he doesn't like that, then he can resign and step down. Because I do think Rahm Emanuel is going to have a hard time. I think he's got 3 years, 3.5 years to go before reelection. And during this time, he's going to be, his job is going to be, it's going to be hard for him. Totally. I mean, people are out here every day protesting him, asking him to resign because they feel that he covered up the Laquan McDonald videotape in order for him to win the mayor election last year. That's possible. Maybe this federal investigation is going to bring that out. Hopefully it can bring that out. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio straight out of Chicago, Illinois. There's no guest. It's just me and you and the microphone, right? 347-857-1762. I will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with me. Thank you. For the second day in a row, Tuesday, O'Hare International Airport was the nation epicenter for flight cancellations. I mean, a lot of them. I'm talking about the weather here, folks. It was just one of those consequences of a wicked combination of rain, ice, snow that hit this area on Monday. As about 3 p.m. Central Standard Time Tuesday, 197 arrivals and 75 departures had been canceled at O'Hare, according to the flight staff. This is bad winter, bad weather, and I've seen videos of passengers stranded, and they were pissed. I have said to myself, I'm glad I'm not, you know, being I wasn't there at O'Hare trying to get out of the country. I mean, out of the state or whatever. O'Hare's number of arrivals cancellations towered over that of the number two Newark Liberty International Airport, which saw 85 arrivals canceled. Boston Logan International Airport was the second highest departure cancellations at 66. Most than 800 of the travelers in and out of O'Hare experienced delayed flights. This is a mess. Well, welcome to winter. What can I say? On Monday, there were over 1,400 O'Hare arrivals or departures that had been canceled, and more than 300 were canceled at Midway Airport. About 1.9 inches of snow was recorded at O'Hare International Airport by the time the snow fell tapered off, according to the National Weather Service's. At 2:45 p.m. Monday, wind speeds reached up to 42 miles an hour at the airport. They don't call this the Windy City for nothing, you know. They don't call it the Windy City for nothing. But I will say that Chicago is a great place to live. It's a wonderful place to live. And I just hate to see people up and leave. I mean, you got people leaving for various reasons, and some of those reasons are good damn reasons. And I'm just sickened by that. But we have to move on. We have to move on. Like I said, we have a governor who's out of state, who he may be out of the country. Who knows? And nobody knows where he is. And we need leadership here in the city of Chicago. We're not getting it from the mayor. We're not getting it from the president. And it looks like we're not getting it from Bruce Rauner. So what do we do? What do we do? I mean, all these shootings, all these killings. You know, I have a microphone, so I have somewhat of a way of getting the message out. And it's really sickening.
Officers from the 11th District responded to a call of a domestic disturbance in the 4700 block of West Erie. Upon their arrival, they were confronted by a combative individual, resulting in an officer firing shots, fatally wounding two individuals. The matter is under investigation by the Independent Police Review Authority, and further questions regarding this matter should be directed to them.
He was having a mental situation. Sometimes he'll get, you know, a little loud, but not violent. I was just with my son on Christmas. I mean, I talked to him. I told him that he had to control his temper, but he wasn't violent. I went to the hospital. My son had seven woolly bones in him. And that's 2 months.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
On October 1st, 2015, a gunman at a college in Oregon shot 18 people, killing 9. The mass shooting followed an ongoing pattern seen throughout the United States. In fact, the U.S. sees a considerably larger number of these shootings than any other industrialized country. So we wanted to know, why exactly does the United States have so many mass shootings? Well, it's important to note that there is no easily agreed upon definition for what constitutes a mass shooting. According to media sources, there have only been about 72 mass shootings in the last 30 years. Meanwhile, a cited list of mass shooting incidents lists 337 in 2014 alone. Why the distinction? Well, the first refers fairly specifically to indiscriminate murder sprees in public places, like the massacres in Oregon, Sandy Hook, and Aurora. But the FBI defines a mass murder as any four or more murders occurring in a single incident. This skyrockets the number of cases and includes gang disputes, domestic altercations, and armed robbery. Obviously, there's a concrete difference between a person who shoots up a school and gang violence. The causes and solutions to both are very distinct and often the source of much misunderstanding. When addressing the total number of mass shootings, there is a clear and defined correlation between the number of guns and rates of shootings. A Harvard study found that wherever there are more guns, there is more homicide, even after accounting for rates of assault, robbery, unemployment, poverty, and alcohol consumption. This follows the fact that in states where it's easier to purchase guns, there are naturally more guns and naturally higher homicide rates. Recent reports have attempted to make it clear that mental illness is not a major contributing factor to most mass murders, and that gun control is the real solution. But when addressing the less common and more frequently discussed public massacres, there are certain specific patterns that emerge. A majority of the attackers have been white men showing signs of mental instability who had acquired their guns legally. And this is relatively unsurprising. Gun background checks are limited in their ability to check private mental health records. And mental health care in the United States overall is lacking. In 2012, it was reported that roughly 90 million Americans lived in an area without adequate access to mental health care, which is also expensive and massively stigmatized within American culture. The fact is that there are many different types of mass shootings, with a combination of contributing factors. When lawmakers and media personalities discuss various solutions, especially involving gun control and mental health care, they're often speaking in different contexts. Yes, overall mass murders will go down with stricter gun control laws. However, better mental health care would likely reduce the number of public massacres. America's real mass murder problem is when those deaths are politicized and solutions are ignored along partisan lines. Some people claim that stricter gun control laws are the only solution to ending mass shootings. But just how easy is it to get a gun in the United States anyway? Watch Secret Daily's video to find out.
Firearm purchases must be made through dealers licensed under the dealer record of sale process. In California, for example.
All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope you enjoyed that tape. I hope it was informative. I do think that we should do something about gun control, guns, but we have to do something about killer cops also. Because they are the ones with the guns. They are the ones giving the guns. They are the ones who legally have them and wear them proudly and outwardly on their person. So we have to do something. I'm totally surprised, and I'm still sort of dismayed that our President Barack Obama of the United States has not chimed in on this. Even Reverend Jesse Jackson and some of the political leaders in Chicago. His buddy, who is Mayor Rahm Emanuel. And the city is being sued like I don't know what. The city is going to be broke with all from all these paying all these lawsuits. You know, I mean, the lawsuits are just up the rear. The father of a 19-year-old man that was shot, Antonio LaGuerre, posed no threat to the police officer who shot him. They say he was coming at them with a bat. They say he was mentally ill. The family and friends are saying that he wasn't mentally ill. The cops just drew their guns and just shot recklessly. That's what they're saying, okay? LeGuire is sophomore at Northern University, Northern Illinois University. Who shot the teen inside a West Garfield Park home. He was 20 to 35 feet away from the officer. How in the hell can that officer say that he was in fear of his life? He was not about to attack him if this is true. As if they want to try and keep their jobs and keep their butts out of jail. So they're going to cover this stuff up. And then there was the neighbor, 55-year-old mother of five, a grandmother, Betty Jones. She was also fatally wounded by the police. She's dead also. And now these police officers, every police officer that was on the scene that night, they've been taken off the streets. They've been taken off desk duties. Their guns have been taken away from them. However, they are still getting paid. They're still working. They're doing desk duty or something. They're still on the force until, I think, 30 days, 35 days or something, until after the investigation is over, is done, is complete. And they will find out what really happened. But remember, I've also said this. We're already under scrutiny. The Chicago Police Department is already under scrutiny. The federal government, the Justice Department, before this happened. And now this is something else the Justice Department is going to have to look in on. That's a shame. The lawsuit was filed on the behalf of LeGuire's father, Antonio LeGuire. This is the guy who called the police. He called the police. His son was trying to get into his apartment with a baseball bat, and it was aluminum or plastic or something. And just like I said at the start of the show, the father did not call the police to come to his house to shoot and kill his son. The police are just covering their asses. This was two bloody murder. This was murder. They killed two people. Two people. And they were already under investigation for the Laquan McDonald handling of the case. Anita Alvarez took 400 days to prosecute the killer, the guy who loaded 10 shots in the Laquan McDonald. Today he was in court and he pleaded not guilty. Not guilty for putting 16 slugs. It might have been 16 slugs in this young man. He said he's not guilty. He said he was fearing for his life. How in the hell are you fearing for your life when you're shooting somebody already? His body is smoking from the impact of the bullets that's hitting him. And you're going to say, oh, this is going to go to court. He's going to trial with this. And there's no way he cannot be found guilty. Although a lot of the activists in the community are saying to themselves that this could go the other way. This guy could be found not guilty. And if he's found not guilty, this city is going to ruin. This city is going to be torn down. He's trying to say that he put 16 bullets into Laquan McDonald a year ago because he was in fear of his life. The video will tell us, if you've seen the video, you know damn well this young man is walking away. He's carrying a knife, but he's walking away from the police officers. On the police reports, they're saying that he's attacking them or charging them, and they're in fear of their not life. That's a lie. That's not true. He's not charging them. He's not attacking them. He's not lunging at them. He's walking totally away. And then this cop, top cop, crazy cop, Jason Van Dyke, loads him with 16 bullets, put 16 bullets in him. And now this guy, this cop is saying he was in fear of his life. This cop was not in fear of his life. This cop committed cold-blooded, calculate murder. And a lot of the activists around and a lot of the leaders and some of these bogus ass ministers, they feel that justice will be denied if this guy goes to trial. And he's going to trial. If he gets a racist jury, he's going to get off. And this city is going to be burned down. They're going to burn it down. There is no way this cop, once he goes to trial, no way he should be found innocent of this. This is blatant, straight-up, cold-blooded murder, but we know that there's racism. Racism does exist, and it will continue to exist. But how can his lawyers say, I'm thinking to myself, why does he have a lawyer? Why is he being defended? When the video blatantly show him shooting Laquan McDonald 16 times, and the father of this 19-year-old man, Quintono LeGreer, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, he was shot 7 times. So that tells you when the policeman draws his gun on a black person, especially a young black person, they plan on loading his body, loading up, shooting the hell out of him. Not one bullet, not two bullets, not three, but 7 and 16. They want to make sure that this person is dead. Rahm Emanuel has a hell. He has a hell of a lot on his hand, and I don't think this guy can handle it. I don't think he can handle it. And lawsuits, and these lawsuits are relevant. They're good. They're deserved, you know. And thing has just got to be done about this police violence. Rahm Emanuel wants reform now. He wants the police to go back, starting immediately. He wants the police to go back and be trained how to deal with people with mental illness. My thinking is, why wasn't this done 10 years ago? Maybe 5 years ago. Instead of, because back, it's been nothing but police officers gunning down young black men, shooting them in the back, and getting away with it. Getting away with it. The judiciary, Chicago and Illinois, was not on the sides of these young black Americans, you know. So it was not there. It's Quintonio LeGuire was inside the building when he was shot. He was inside the building. He was not on the ground. So, therefore, it may not be any video of the shooting. If there is some sort of video of the shooting, it's going to be a little bit. It's not going to be much because this was inside, unless she had a camera or something inside of her apartment or something like that. It's not going to show much. It's not going to show much. But what we do know is that they accidentally killed Betty Jones. That's a given. They even admitted that they accidentally killed her. In other words, they accidentally killed her, but they intentionally killed a 19-year-old. This is coming out of the police department. And it's crazy. It's crazy. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. WWTTY on Black Talk Radio. I'll be right back, people. Stay with me.
It's the second weekend in July, and the trauma unit at Advocate Christ Medical Center on the outskirts of Chicago is bracing itself for the worst.
Christ, identify.
Hi, this is San Francisco.
In Chicago, trauma tends to get busier in the summer months. We've had a stretch of some warm weather.
In what proved to be bloody days in the city, 82 people were shot in Chicago on the July 4th weekend, 16 of them fatally.
Possibly our busiest weekend ever.
And more than two dozen of those victims were brought here to Advocate Christ, which served the city's south side.
A lot of gunshot wounds and a decent number of fatalities as well.
A week later, the pace on a Friday night is slower, but soon after 11 p.m., a call comes in. Ambulances with two gunshot victims are on their way from the city's Roseland neighborhood. The first of the victims arrives, a male with a bullet wound through his shoulder.
The gentleman came in with a gunshot wound, but it was just to the right shoulder, and there's no significant injury.
The medical team treats the wound, but soon rushes to prepare for the second victim, who did not fare as well.
He's got a gunshot wound to the right chest.
I'm gonna get another IV.
Most of the victims are younger patients. They're usually male, who are of lower socioeconomic status.
You got an 18 gauge.
And it represents the neighborhoods where the violence is taking place.
Chest tube on the right.
This 26-year-old man has internal bleeding that is making it hard to breathe.
He'd gotten shot in the chest.
What's your name? Tell me your name.
And he had diminished breath sounds on the right side of his chest.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
You know, 90% of homicide victims are men.
Don't move.
95% of perpetrators are men. And that is even more skewed in Chicago. And it vastly discriminates against people of color, particularly African Americans and Latinos.
It's caused a contusion of the lung, which is a bruising of the lung. There's also some blood in the chest.
So move your eye move.
A surgeon prepares to place a tube in the man's chest to drain the blood.
It is a sort of a basic resuscitation maneuver in terms of patients who have penetrating chest trauma. Place the tube in the chest cavity to drain the blood or to drain the air that's collected around the lung. One of the few times that a fairly simple bedside procedure can actually save a patient's life.
These life-saving maneuvers happen nightly in emergency rooms across the country as gun violence haunts America's cities.
In the last 30 years, about 1 million people have died from guns, and that's homicide, suicide, domestic violence, and accidents.
More than 30,000 people die from guns every year in the United States. Chicago is plagued by a gun homicide rate much higher than New York or Los Angeles, which have shown sizable decreases in gun deaths. Still, homicides from guns are half of what they were here more than a decade ago.
The decrease in homicides in the United States has been, in many areas, a tremendous public health victory. So Los Angeles, or let's say New York City in the early 90s, 2,000 homicides per year.
Last year, homicides in New York were down to 355.
And while there has been a decrease in Chicago, it has not at all been as dramatic.
In some ways, it's getting better, but I think that there are neighborhoods and communities and generations of people that are not getting the kind of positive supports that are necessary to really turn the tide.
New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago basically have about the same murder rate for murder by other than gunshot. So that's fascinating if you think about it. Of course, everybody wants to know what's different about Chicago. First thing I said when I got here, too many guns, the proliferation of firearms.
In the past, most of our penetrating trauma was coming from the south side of the city of Chicago and some of the more violent neighborhoods, but now we're actually seeing quite a few coming in from the suburbs.
Though gun deaths are lower in the city so far this year, as they are nationwide, police figures show shootings are up. Chief of Trauma Surgery, Dr. James Daugherty, says he's noticing a disturbing trend.
We're seeing more patients who have multiple gunshot wounds, and I think what we're seeing is that the severity of the injuries that we're seeing are much worse. Are they all gang-related? The answer to that is no.
Not all of the cases are gang-related. Many of the patients we treat, in fact, a majority, are innocent victims. They just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
One of those innocent victims got the attention of the city in mid-July. 11-year-old Shamaya Adams was at a sleepover at a friend's house when a stray bullet came through the window. It struck her in the head, and she died the following morning.
Say amen, everybody.
Yeah. A day later, Shamaya's family joined other supporters and activists for a vigil in her West Side neighborhood.
So everybody just say with me, God bless,
God bless.
Shamaya's family.
Shamaya's family.
God bless.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Okay, I just love that laugh. I just had to do that. I just love that laugh. Okay, we're talking about the Chicago shootings. Not too long ago on a Saturday in December. Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for sticking with me. You know, if you're not listening live, if you're listening live and you want to podcast the show for later, you want to listen to the show for later, download it for later, not even downloading it. You don't have to use any space on your hard drive for this. And it's free. This show is always free. It's your show. It's my show. It's everybody's show. And like I said before, starting next month, which is 2016, happy holidays, everybody. This show will be on different days. But the same time, I've changed the days of the show, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. It's on my page, on my Blog Talk page, so it's all over the place. I will be putting that also on Facebook and LinkedIn and all over the place. So it's going to be a new beginning for me. I'm hoping to branch out. You know, I want to branch the show out. I've been getting some great positive feedback from the show. And I'm so glad that you're listening to the show. If you can't listen, you can always download it because I know people, even myself, we're busy, 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 busy. And like I just said, I'm going to save weekends for writing. Yeah. From Spencer fame. I mean, he wrote a dozens of books, and some were made into movies. I'm going to be like Robert Parker. He died at his computer. He died writing. I mean, literally, he just killed over right at his computer as he was writing. Totally. I think he was about 78 years old, if I can get this right. And yeah, I want to be like him. George did. Well, he died. He killed over at his laptop, you know? Oh, it's unfinished. Okay. All right. Okay. But that's because I love writing. I mean, I love it. It seems like I'm addicted to it. It does. It seems like I'm addicted to just getting something down on paper. If I don't have anything to do around the house or no appointments to go to, nothing, any work to do or whatever, I'm coming to the computer. Actually, writing is working. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of commitment, you know, especially if you're editing and writing and drafting your own material. That's rough. That's hard because in the beginning, when you're first putting your story down, you're just like throwing words down on paper. But then it comes to the writing, the editing, I mean, the rewriting, the editing, the drafting, and that's the kicker, man. That is the kicker. But I love it. I think it's wonderful. I'm a fiction writer. I write fiction. I do a little nonfiction also, but majority of the time I like to do fiction. I mean, I love fiction. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. And I've always told myself, it's a zillion authors out there, And I'm competing with every last one of them in trying to get my work noticed and seen and bought. But, you know, you just love writing. I've known so many people who love writing, but they're broke. There's writers out here who are homeless. You know, it's writing. If you're going to write for money, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm not saying it will not come, but write because you love it. Don't write because of money. Because I've done that. I said, man, if I write this book, they're going to give me a great big advance. It didn't happen. It did not happen. I got paid for it, but it wasn't what I thought I would be getting. So write to enjoy it. And I've always told people, I think, and I know a lot of people disagree with me on this one, but I think good writers, quality writers, stay at home and write. They do not have outside jobs. They don't have part-time jobs. They don't have full-time jobs. Their job is at home to write. Because I think this way, I think that if you're holding an outside job or any type of job, you know, that's going to be messing with your thinking process, your brain process. You're going to be stressed. You're going to be tired. You may not be, you know, as good as you would be as a writer if you were not stressed and tired and with other things all on your mind. I think a writer, being a writer, you're going to have to put your all in all on being a writer. You know, I know people disagree with me with that because I've had some do, I got to work, I got to pay the bills, writing ain't getting it. I understand all of that. I really do, but I think if you want to be a quality writer, a writer who is a best-selling writer, I think you have to stay home and just write. You know, a lot of writers have been successful because they have other people who their girlfriends who let them stay home and write. You know, so I know it's a lot of people out there, writers, including myself, we needed to work. We needed to pay the bills. The writing wasn't getting it. But I'm just giving you my opinion. If you disagree with that, that's fine. That's okay. Look me up. You know, tell me I'm wrong. But also tell me why you think I'm wrong. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. We're still talking about, the shootings, the two killings recently that has taken place in the city of Chicago, and nobody is saying really nothing about it, especially in terms of President Obama, and because this is his hometown, this is where he hailed from, this is where he began his presidential campaign. And then we have Governor Bruce Rauner. He's been the governor over a year, and he hasn't said anything about the violence in Chicago. He has to remember that Chicago is also part of Illinois. He's a leader. He should say something. He should come out and do something or say something. And we have to also remember that Chicago doesn't have a state budget. We're 6 months without a state budget, and I put the total blame on Bruce Rauner, the governor, and I also put some of the blame on Michael Madigan. Yeah, and he's a Democrat, you know. And politicians, I'm going to say this, politicians have failed us. They have failed us. They mismanage the government. They can't lead. They're not leaders. They're not people-oriented or anything like that. To me, it seems like Rauner just enjoys the title of being governor. That's it. He likes to be called governor. This title, but he does nothing. He doesn't know his job, and he almost doesn't want anybody to tell him his job. And this is crazy. This is crazy. He is too busy trying to bring the state down, you know, in my opinion. Okay, that's my opinion. Okay, let's get back to the two shootings. All righty. And get back to people filing lawsuits against the police departments for gunning down their children. Okay, the Jones family's lawyer said that both Jones and these are the two people who are dead, shot at the hands of police. Both Jones and Quinton Tornado, if I can pronounce his name, LeGuir, were inside the house when they were shot. You know what? Because there was video. There's video of shots around a door. And there were shell casings from the officer's gun that were found outside of the home near the sidewalk. So the officer cannot lie that he did not shoot. A quote, every indication that we have is that she was asked by the upstairs tenant to open the door for the police. The bell rang and she opened the door and she ended up dead. She ended up dead for opening the damn door. An overzealous, reckless ass cop drew his damn gun, and this lady, this grandmother, this lady of five, is dead. They walked into a herring situation, and there was no doubt, but they were coming out with guns blazing. That's a quote that I'm reading here. And this is just crazy. Oh, yeah, let's do something on the lighter note. CTA is coming out with Chicago Transit Authority, I'm sorry. They're coming out with 4G internet service, Wi-Fi services for the Red Line, the subway trains. So that means if you have a phone and it's internet compatible, when you're riding the train, there's free internet, there's free Wi-Fi. That's great. I think it's on the Red Line and the Green Line or something. So that's good for commuters. That's good for riders. So we try to get on the lighter side of this thing. So, and the Bears won. The Bears won. I always say that Jay Cutler is a great quarterback no matter what standings are the Bears in. I think they're at the bottom. They got one more game this Sunday. Apparently, I won't be on the show, and that's a good thing from not doing a radio show. I can watch a football game, right? And he's a pretty good quarterback. He's going to be back next year, from what I'm understanding, and rightly so, because he's a great quarterback. He's just underrated. He just needs he needs an offensive line. He needs an offensive line. I think Kyle, I can't think of his name, but anyway. He needs to go. He's part of the offensive line, and he's not protecting Jay. I mean, that's why Jay gets sacked, because his offensive line, it just comes apart, and the blitzes just tear Jay up with those sacks. But I do think Jay's a good quarterback. I think he's underrated. I think the national guys don't give him any credit. I mean, the Bears are what? What are they? At this broadcast, they're 5-9. 5-9. Last year, they were 5-11. So this year, they may be a game better than what they were last year. Who knows? But anyway, Jay's a good quarterback. He's got my vote, you know, but he needs a better offensive line. That's what I think. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. and his show on Block Radio, and I will be right back. Stay with me, everybody. Stay there. Ah, thank you. Tomorrow on the show, I'm going to be doing a year in review. 2016 is over, and I'm going to be doing a year in review. I should have that ready. I'm going to have to put it together because I haven't got it together already. And it should be a smash. You know, we're going to have it. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. A year in review. I'm going to write that down right now so I do not forget that. But you know what? One of the things we're going to remember in 2016 is the Star Wars movie. I mean, this is a billion-dollar bonanza. I mean, this movie has made more money than any movie in the history of the box office. This is one of the most greatest phenomenons. And you know what? I haven't even seen the movie yet. We're going to go out there and see it. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to wait until the crowds die down because I don't want to be trampled. You know, and I don't want anyone else who's going to be with me to be trampled. So, but it is a phenomenon, this movie. And by all, I think some of the reviews of the movie are good. And some of the reviews of the movies is good. And some of the trailers that I've seen are phenomenal. So we're going to go see the movie. Totally going to go see the movie. But I want to wait until the crowds kind of die down a little bit. So that might be in a few weeks. I think I can wait. And I also want to see, I haven't seen the new James Bond movie either. I get all the Bonds. I just haven't got the latest one. And the new Quentin Tarantino movie, The Hateful Eight, that's getting a good buzz, but it hasn't had a wide release as of yet, from my understanding. But I love all of Quentin Tarantino's movies, even though he's gotten the raw deal because everybody is saying his movies are violent, but his movies are good. I just got through watching Inglourious Basterds. That's a Quentin Tarantino movie. It's a great movie. It's wonderful, but it's some parts of it, it's boring. But then it starts to really, really pick up, and that, you know, keeps your attention. But the Star Wars movie, oh, wow, it's just out of this world. I mean, the marketing for this movie is out of this world. They spend a ton of money on the marketing for this movie, and it has paid off. It has paid off for these people. I just wish that I was sweeping out the floors of the trailers of these stars to get a little bit of that money. And I've always said, with the movie making all this money, this kind of money, everybody who has been associated with the movie is rich. I don't care if you're mopping floors. If you're associated with this movie, you've got cash, you know. And Hollywood is reeling, you know. I mean, and especially Harrison Ford. I mean, he's, what, 70, 80 years old? And this is his biggest movie ever? This is the biggest movie ever of all times? And I think the second biggest movie, they said, was Jurassic Park. But this is just phenomenal. I mean, this is crazy. You know, and it's kind of fun. It's kind of fantastic. You know, it's kind of good that something good is happening in the world besides crime, shootings, and thuggery, and stuff like that. It's good. And that's what I'm going to try to have on the show, try to have a lighter side on the show, not always doom and gloom, you know, because a lot of people don't want to hear a lot of doom and gloom. So I'm going to mix it up every now and then on the show because that's what the George Water Jr. Show is all about. I have no guest today. Just me and you. There's no guest on the show. That's fine. That's good. However, next month, like I keep saying, next month, I have a whole roster filled of guests starting January 4th. So So I'm just taking, I'm still on kind of a Christmas break here, holiday break. You know, a lot of people, when they're on holiday break, they don't come back until, you know, after New Year's. And maybe that's kind of a thing that I'm on. But I'm working. I'm working. Whenever I'm on a radio show, whenever I'm writing, I'm working. This is work for me. This is not easy. I have to prepare for these shows. You just don't come sit down. You know, I'm the producer. And I really don't need a producer for this show. I'm the producer. I'm the producer. I'm the writer. I'm everything. I'm the talk show host. You name it. But like I said before, like I've written, I want to bring my son in on this because it's fun. I wanted to have some of the fun. It's great. And once I'm not able to do the show anymore, I want him to be able to do the show. I've told him that. And he seemed, you know, kind of positive in that aspect. But, you know, kids, what can you say? What can you say? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Let's see if we can do a... Oh, we got Chirac. I think we talked about Siren. Let's do this. All right, be right back, folks.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Welcome back, folks, to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live. The weather hasn't got as bad as it's supposed to get, as they say it's going to get. Not yet. I feel good. I feel great. I feel wonderful. Maybe it's these new days that I'm formatting for the show. This is my very, very first Tuesday of being on this show. The very first Tuesday. I'm going to be on tomorrow. I'm going to be on Wednesday. I'm going to be on Thursday. So you guys write that down, put that on the calendar, that I'm going to listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show on this particular day because I know his show is great. Donations for helping the poor, uneducated children. Okay. One of the small location, what am I reading this right? One small local organization. One goal, one child, one at a time, to bring smiles to children in the poorest areas by providing them with access to quality education. That's something. That's great. That's beautiful. I've said this many, many, many times. If you can't help somebody out in need, what are we here for on earth? Our mission, if we can do it, if we have it, the ability, the financing, the will, the know-how, we should get out here and help those who are in need through no fault of their own. Those are keywords, through no fault of their own. You know, so these are kids. These are children, beautiful kids. They didn't ask to be born into this world. They didn't ask to be born into poverty. They didn't ask to be born into a world of hate, and they didn't do that. So we have to, and that's what I try to do. I want to help people. I help people all the time. I try. At least I think I do. You know, because if I got it, if I got the smarts, the intellect, or the financing, and I think this person or these people are legitimate people in need of help, legitimately, you got a lot of people out here begging. That shouldn't get nothing, okay? Somebody out here in the street begging for $2 or $3 for you to come up out of your pocket with $2 or $3 and they look like they're healthier than I am. No way. No way. They're healthier than I am. They're younger than I am. They have a much of a ability than I do. No way. You're not going to get a damn thing. Go get a job. That's the same thing I kind of feel about people on food stamps or people on welfare getting government money. I don't think anybody should be getting government money if they're under 55, if they're under, 45 or something like that. Because you're still young, you're still healthy, unless you're disabled or you're elderly. You can't do any better through no fault of your own. That's what I mean. But if you're out there and you're 20, 30, and 40 years old and you on food stamps and you on welfare and you refuse to work, hanging out there on corners, you shouldn't get a damn thing. I'm not going to help you do anything because you will not what? You will not help yourself. Why should I help you? Why should I give you my hard-earned money? Because you're sure going to take it if I give it. But there's nothing wrong with helping legitimate people who are in need and dire need. I mean, if you got five or six kids, I mean, them are your damn kids. You take care of them. You're the one laid there with that thug and open up your legs and pumped out those kids. I'm not going to, as a taxpayer, I'm not paying for your kids. But you got a lot of girls out here like that. There's a lot of young girls out here like that. They got four or five kids and expect for you to give them something because you're poor. I'm not going to give you anything. I mean, you got four or five kids, you take them to a daycare or somewhere and let somebody watch them while you go to get out there and you go to work. You're young, you're vibrant, you're strong. Because I think if you don't do that, you're just making your life you're not doing something for yourself. You're making your life worse. And that's how I feel about it. And that's how I'm going to continue to feel about it. But I do have a giving heart. I am sympathetic to some things, but I'm not going to be made a fool of course. I mean, people out here begging for money. I mean, you got $2 shaking their little cans, So you can get your ass a job. Why can't you get a job? Get off this corner begging. Because if I gave everybody some money on the corner, I would be broke. Then I would be the one standing on the corner. Because people out here begging, as long as you give them money, they're going to continue to be out begging. And that's why I stopped. I stopped giving money. I give to organizations who cater to people like that. That way you'll know that they can get the food that they need. They can get the bed. Them off this, from sleeping on the streets, but I don't come out of my pocket anymore. I used to come out of my pocket because I felt like I deserved, I felt like I should have, I felt like I should give because I have and they don't have anything. But that was the wrong feeling I got. And a lot of people out here beg and they play on you. They play on your heart. They play on your goodness. They play on your forgiveness. They play on that. They tug on your heartstrings, and they know they can get you when they do that, and they know that you're going to come out of your pocket and give. There's nothing wrong with giving. I mean, I had a job once where every paycheck that I've gotten, that money would be deducted to go to a certain charity. So I know about giving. Every paycheck there's some money that would be deducted out of my paycheck to go to a charity. So since then, I stopped giving money because you don't know what they're going to do with that money. You give them $2 or $3, they're going to run to the liquor store, go get a pack of cigarettes, or go somewhere and give it to their pimp or their boyfriend or whatever. Because a lot of people out on the street that are begging, it's their job. It's something that they do every day. Their church might send them out there to beg. A nursing home might send them out there to beg. Or they just might come out and just start begging in general. I mean, you don't know. You don't know. So I'm not heartless or anything. I'm not saying I will not help. I will help, but I will do it knowing that the person I'm helping is out here and in need through no fault of her own. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. of the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago, and it's been fun. It's been beautiful. I have 7:22 straight up Chicago time. It's about, let's see, about 35 degrees or something out there. And it's beautiful. It's raining. It's muggy. It's cold. What can I say? Welcome to winter. And this, we're on the last leg of the holidays. Yeah. I mean, I just love when the holidays come around. Don't you? I mean, I just love when the holidays come around. It's just so festive. But there is no doubt about it. Some people just aren't in the holiday spirit. And I see it in my neighborhood. Christmas lights, Christmas trees. I mean, I used to see all of that when I was really, really young. But now it's you know, you barely see it. People are not in the spirit for what reason. I don't know. It could be, you know, financial. It could be, you know, they decided that they don't want to celebrate anymore. I mean, it's up to them. It's up to them. Like I said, tomorrow I'm going to have, because I'm going to make it my pet peeve to talk about the year in review, 2015. It should be, because most people in the media are doing that year in review. So I said, well, let me try and do that and see how it works, year in review. So we should have that on the show for you tomorrow. So make sure you join me tomorrow on this show. And I'm trying to see how it's going to go on the show, as I'm on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 6 o'clock to 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock, depends on how things goes. But anyway, hour and a half, 2 hours. And like I said before, I will have plenty, plenty of guests for you starting January 4th, 2016. That should be wonderful. All right, everybody, come on. There we go. always love that song. I always 90 seconds, someone just whispered in my ear. Always love that song, always will. You know, some bookstores everywhere have vanished. A lot of the bookstores, and in my area, there used to be so many, they are not gone. A lot of the bookstores are just gone. All over the United States, all over the U.S., they're gone. What's happening to the bookstores? You know, I mean, most writers write, as I've just got to mention, they write because they love writing. They don't write because they're gonna make a lot of money, because that's most time that's not going to happen. All right. One of the greatest feelings I get on being published, one of the greatest feelings I get as being a published author is when I get paid, when a check is in the mail. It's an honor when you are being paid for what you love to do and told to keep it up. Getting paid for what you do as a writer and the stuff that you have authored is awesome, especially when you can use it. I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I wrote it. All right, we're just about off, and I hope you guys can join me tomorrow on the George Wilder Jr. Show. If I can find the right clip to take me out before the show just goes out.
You are now
goodbye, everybody.
To the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
10 seconds. 8, 9, 7, 6, 5, 4. Goodbye, everybody.